There are so many awesome things happening right now, and it's just perfect because we're in a place in our passage. If you guys have been walking through this series with us, where Paul is about to kind of lay down one of the most important things, kind of like the key to this entire book of Colossians, we're going to hit tonight. We're at this like crux, like the centerpiece of the whole book. And so it's a really important one to hear and not miss tonight as we're walking through this. But have you guys, so like, how many of you guys wear glasses? Any people in the room wear glasses like me? Or how about contacts? Any contact wearers? Are contacts not a thing anymore? This is like, oh, like two of them. Okay, so here's the thing. You go to the eye doctor, and what do they make you do? They sit you down, right, and they make you do something. What is it? Who knows? What do you have to do? Yeah, and what is that eye test? What is it like? Yeah, it's like these letters, right? And it's like way on the other side of the room on this little poster. And yeah, I got to like pull out binoculars to try to see the thing. And they're like, read it. And I have a hard enough time just like saying the letters in order, even if I can see them, right? So it's like really hard. I'm like, ah. And so as you get down further, what happens to the letters? They get smaller and harder to read, right? And so back in the day, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, you could try this when you go home though, right? If you have bad eyesight. What people would do was like they wanted to be pilots. My dad told me this because he was in the Navy and he had pilot friends and they had to have 20/20 vision. And so that's like perfect vision in order to fly. And so they would have to go in and take this test. And if it didn't come out 20/20, then they lost their license. They couldn't fly for, or didn't lose their license, but they couldn't fly for the Navy. And so what they would do is they would do this trick. They would take a piece of paper, and you could try this. You take a really sharp pencil and you poke one little hole in the center of the paper. Okay. Without glasses, with bad eyesight, if you hold that paper up and look at that chart across the room, but only look through that tiny hole you made, you can actually see almost perfectly. It like corrects your eyesight somehow. It's like a miracle of God, but it works. And so these pilots would do that right before they went in, and it would like correct their eyes, and they'd be able to, if they did it fast enough, they could kind of cheat the system. And so like they put it down, walk in, read it really quick, and like the doctor would sign them off. And you're like, how in the world does that work? I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I know they said it worked, right? And so here's the thing. As I thought about that story of how these guys were kind of cheating the test, I thought about this passage too, because this whole thing, right, is called coming into focus. And we've been talking about the gospel and having like this out of focus view about who Jesus is, about who we are, about the Bible and his mission. Like all of these things tend to get out of focus when we're not looking at the right thing. And so as Paul's talking about that, he gets to this point that we're going to see tonight, and he's basically talking about this thing called the focal point, right? That one dot in the middle of that paper that you're trying to see through to see and read this chart, and somehow it does something. It causes your eye to react in a way where it like focuses and magnifies in, and you can somehow see. And when you're thinking about what we're looking at, right, there's lots of options in this world today that you could choose to obsess over, or stare at, or look over, or commit your life to. But there's only one that's actually going to focus you in on what matters. And so Jesus, this focal point, our Savior Jesus, he's like that dot in the paper. When we're trying to see the gospel, and we're trying to be like, hey, what is life about? What's the point of all this? What are we doing here? What is any of this about? If we're not looking through Jesus as that focal point, if he's not the filter, that lens that we're looking through to actually see and try to find significance, the whole thing's going to be out of focus for you. You're going to spend the rest of your life looking at life, thinking that these shadows and blurry images you see out there are actually important, or things that they aren't really. You're going to end up living your life for things that don't matter. You're going to end up being an old person, looking back at your life going, man, why did I just waste my entire life? But if you're able to see through that focal point, you can actually see what matters in life. You can look back when you're old and go, man, I'm so glad that Jesus was my filter and my lens for my whole life. I'm so glad that one day when God called me to go to Guatemala and say, I'm going to up and move and do this thing and serve Jesus, that I was willing to say, you know what, Jesus? You really are worth it. Like Drew's doing. Like so many other people have heard the call of Jesus and said, you know what? This life is about you. It's more valuable. You are more valuable than anything and everything else. And what they're doing there is they're clearly seeing things. They're clearly seeing what life is about. They're clearly seeing the gospel of Jesus and how worthy he is. And they're like, you know what? I'll sacrifice anything and everything because Jesus, you're better than everything. That's the focal point that Paul is talking about. I don't know how many of you guys, let's see how old you are. Let's do an age test, right? So how many of you guys remember the movie or have seen the movie The Matrix? Oh, way more than I thought. Holy cow. All right, cool. It must be making like a resurgence. You're way too young to have seen The Matrix. Do you remember the scene of The Matrix where Neo is sitting there in the chair and Morpheus is on the other side? He has a blue pill and a red pill. You remember that scene? Yeah, it's awesome. It is like totally the best scene. And he's like, you can either take this, I forgot if it's red or blue, the red pill and just go back to Wonderland, or you can take the blue one and wake up in reality, basically is what's happening. And he's stuck in this computer program and doesn't even know it. It's like his virtual, I don't want to ruin the movie for some of you, but it's been out for like 100 years. So if you haven't seen it, it's your fault, right? So like you can either take this and wake up from this computer program and live in the real world or not. And as I read this passage tonight, I feel like Paul is Morpheus sitting in the chair going, Rob, you can either choose to stay like deluded, thinking things are important that aren't, having like this messed up view of the world, or you can choose Jesus. And you can make him your filter and your lens, and you can see life for what it really is, but be ready to take that pill. Because it's going to wake you up to some things. It's going to change your life. It's going to rock everything that you're living for. Because you'll start to finally see things clearly when you choose Jesus. And I feel like that's what Paul is doing to us in this passage tonight, or asking from us. So, Colossians 3:1-4, let's read it together. It says this, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are not, that are above, and not on things that are on the earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, Paul just got finished in these last couple chapters talking to us about who we are. We're broken sinners, right? Alone, we can't get to heaven. We can't find forgiveness. There's not much we can do, really nothing we can do on our own. But then he said, but look at Jesus. You have this awesome Savior who's worthy, and he describes how worthy Jesus is. And we sit there and read those words, and our minds just get like, you know, like explode, because it's like, wow, Jesus is so incredible. And then we remember, wait, but I'm so small. And Jesus is so big. And he's like, that's right. We need to understand that, because it causes us to worship him and to see that we need him. Then he says, you know what? You also have a purpose for your life you might not know about. Jesus gives you that purpose. It's his mission to go into the world and share the gospel, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Like, that's what Jesus has called you to do, and it's an important mission, and it's a purpose for your life. And so Paul's walking us through this whole thing of like, let's clear this whole thing up. Let's give you a clean vision of what God, how God sees you. And then he follows it with this passage we just read. So if that's true, he says, this is what you should be doing. Here's the focal point. Set your eyes. Focus your eyes on things above. You see those two words? They're actually really important, and you probably, like I do all the time, just read right over it. It says, if then. If then, he says. Okay, well, if then you have been raised with Christ in verse 11. That means something's happened. That means there's been a change in your heart, because if then, if something changed, if you've been transformed and you're no longer this old, broken, dead person anymore, you've been raised with Christ, something's changed in you. You're a brand new creature. You're not who you used to be anymore. You know that God wants to change your identity? He loves you exactly how you are. Don't get me wrong. He loves you. He made you the way he wants you to be. But there's this dead soul inside of you. And he wants to resurrect the dead soul so you can fully live out who he's made you to be and who he loves you as you are. Like, he wants that to happen. So if then, since you've turned to Jesus and he's taken that brokenness and that deadness inside of you, giving you a new life and a new purpose with Christ, he says this, seek the things that are above. Don't go back and live like you're dead. Don't be just like sit here broken and be like, oh, well, too bad. I can't change this. I may as well just give in to sin because there's nothing I can do about my sin. God's like, no, there's everything to do about your sin because Jesus already did it. It's done. He paid for it. you live in it, you step up and you say, now I'm going to focus my eyes on the things that are above. That's the focal point. Stop living for pleasure. Stop living for earthly success to try to be someone you think the world wants you to be. Stop living just for what your friends or family think about you and other people's opinions and what the world will say about you. Stop living for all of these things that we chase after that we know don't honor God, but they feel good. What if we realized I'm brand new? I don't have to look down at worldly things anymore. I can pick my eyes up and now see into the heavens and see Jesus and see a better way. My life can be so much better, and not just here on earth, but for eternity, because I can be with Jesus. And he's calling me to that. He says, pick your eyes up and focus on me. Stop looking at this garbage down here that keeps calling you back to it, and you think it's so great, and you're like, let me try this again. Maybe this time it won't break me. And it does every single time. Pick your eyes up, he says. Look up at Jesus. Look to things that are above, that are better, that are heavenly, that are spiritual, things that won't ever decay or rot. Look to eternal things. You're like, what's an eternal thing? The things of God are eternal. He's calling you to an eternal dwelling in life with him, that he wants you to start living that way now. It's so crazy that so many of us think we have to wait till we die to do that. He's already resurrected your spirit. It's not dead anymore. You have this eternal soul inside of you that will live forever with him, ready to do that. Every day craving him when you wake up. And it's us, our flesh, that says, nah, not today. You got to wait another day before I actually start walking with Jesus the way my soul, my new living soul inside of me wants. And you know what that happens? Like, what happens then is this war. There's this war that rages in my heart and in my life. And I'm like, constantly my sinful nature is fighting this like heavenly nature in me. And therein lies the Christian life, this battle that we fight every day. And we can either choose to trust God and lift our eyes up and look into the heavens and say, Jesus, it's all about you. Or we could turn right back to the filth. The Apostle Paul says, like, it's like a dog going back to his vomit. You know, dogs throw up and then re-eat it. It's really nasty. Yeah. It's gross. Paul literally says a lot of Christians are like that. He's like, why are you going back to your vomit? Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? Look up to the heavens. Fix your eyes on the focal point that's Jesus. He's so much better than this. He's better than everything you'll find in this life. So live for him. Pick your eyes up. Focus your eyes on the things that are above. And here's why they're better. It's not just because we're like, man, I want to go to heaven and live in paradise and like jump from cloud to cloud and like whatever like your picture of heaven might be, right? He says it's because it's where Christ is. Jesus is there. There's nothing better than that. There could be nothing else there. As long as Jesus is there, it's better than anything and everything. That's where Christ is. What does your heart truly long for? As you sit quietly and just think about that for a second, I bet there's a lot of things coming up in your heart. All the things that we like and we desire and we long for. And I would just ask you, how high on the list is Jesus in your heart? Do you long most for Jesus? If you're like, no, like if I were to be honest, he's really not. I'm not being mean when I say this. I'm really not trying to, but here's your problem. I didn't figure it out. Paul did. Your view is messed up of truth. If Jesus isn't the most important thing to you right now, if he's not the highest on your list, your view is messed up. You're seeing life through a blurry lens because you don't see how valuable Jesus really is. You don't get it. You missed it. And he's calling you to refocus in so that all of a sudden you say, Jesus, you really are worth being the top of my list. You're better than everything out there. There's not a person or thing in all of creation that's better than Christ. Ask God tonight, Lord, refocus me. Help me to see just how incredible Jesus is because I'm missing it right now. He's not making the top of my list. I seriously think these things are better. If I had to choose tonight between Jesus and these things over here, I know I would choose these things. Every time I'm up in this like battle in sin and I'm trying to struggle and not sin, you know what I choose? I know I should choose Jesus. But somehow I keep getting pulled in back into this sin. I try to say no, but like at the end of the day, I choose this. Ask God to refocus you. Ask God to show you how powerful Jesus is. Ask him to blow your mind away with how awesome he is and how much he loves you. Ask God to do it because it's a spiritual thing you can't do on your own. God, you need to do this in us. Will you show us and convince us that Christ is all we should focus on, that he should be the center and focal point of my life, because all of a sudden my comfort takes the back seat. I can sacrifice more in my life because I have Jesus and he's what I want most. I can let other things go. I can be less petty, less prideful. I can be nicer to people, right? All of these things that we, if you really look at those, it's the fruit of the Spirit. We find the fruit of the Spirit in all these things that change about us because now we want Jesus more than everything. And that shows up in love and joy and peace and patience and all those awesome things that happen in us because Jesus takes the center stage in our life. But when Jesus isn't there and you're standing in the center stage of your own life and you're thinking you're the most important actor in that play, everything falls apart around you and you don't know why. It's because your focal point's messed up. You're trying to play a role you can't play. You weren't made for it. Only Jesus was made to be in the center of your heart and your life. So Paul says, focus your eyes on him. Look above Jesus. Christ is the most important thing. He says, seek the things that are above where Christ is. And look at this part. Seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is this great high priest that we have that was able to walk in and sit down in the temple next to God. Now, high priests couldn't do that in the Old Testament. Paul's painting this picture for us. Priests in the Old Testament would have to constantly go back in to make these sacrifices over and over because once was never good enough. But Jesus literally was able to die on the cross and raise again. He was the sacrifice. And it was good enough for every sin that's ever been committed, is being committed, and will ever be committed. Jesus covers it all. He's that big. So when Jesus walks into the temple with his blood and his sacrifice, you know what he can do? He can sit down. His job's over. It's finished. He's done what needed to be done. And he walks up to you and he says, here you go. It's yours if you want it. Salvation, it's yours if you want it. Forgiveness, it's right here. I've done it for you. Now it's in your hand to accept it, to believe it, to say, Jesus, you really are worth it. Jesus, I want that. I want you to forgive my sin. I want to belong to you. I take all of it. I leave this behind and I follow you instead. Jesus was able to sit down at the right hand of God. That's what that means there. In verse 2, he says this, set your minds on things that are above. So just not just your eyes, but focus your minds, right? Your mind, set it on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Where does your mind drift to throughout the day? What are your thoughts about throughout the day? When you're scrolling on your phone or your computer or your tablet and you're going doing your thing online, where do your thoughts, where does your mind drift to focus on? We're so addicted to those things, right? Our minds are always moving and working. We need to be real careful about where they're focusing because Paul says it'll change your view of the world. It'll change your view of truth if you focus on the wrong things. So here's what you do. You set your mind on things above. Do you spend your day just thinking through Jesus, thinking about who he is, being amazed by him, thinking about what he's like and what he's done? And do you think about things he said in his word and read scripture in the morning so that throughout the day you can just be like thinking about that scripture and be like, man, like I just thought about this and the Holy Spirit showed me this. And you're just like letting it just kind of be in your heart all day long. Let it just kind of live in your mind throughout the day. And the next day you pick up the Bible again and you read some more and it adds to that and you're growing in it. You know why? Because your mind is set on things above. And now you start to change from the inside out because it's changing your mind. It's washing you and purifying you with truth. And that old life, remember that war that's happening between the old and the new? Start to win the war. Ultimately, it's won, right? But the daily battle, that walk every day, when your mind is set on Jesus and on things above and you have scripture in your head and your heart, you win the daily battles. And you start to see things change in your life. So many students come up to me and like, man, I love Jesus. I prayed, I received Jesus. I try to live for him, but like, I don't see a change. I don't feel transformed. I don't see this big difference in me. What are you focused on all day long? How are you spending your time? Where are your eyes looking and where's your mindset? Like, I guarantee you the answer is almost never, oh, well, I'm in the Bible and I'm thinking about Jesus all day. Because something happens when we do that that transforms us. The Holy Spirit uses us to change us from the inside out. If more of us would just believe that. If we would just spend more time, even a few verses in the morning saying, today, I'm letting this just live in my head and my heart. Even if it's one verse, and today I'm just going to, throughout my day, keep going back to this and thinking about it and praying it throughout my day, you will see a dramatic change in your life. That's not some crazy claim I'm making. That's just truth. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Are you using it that way? Are you focusing your mind on things above? He says, not on things that are on earth, but listen, that's where we live, right? That's where you spend your day. That's where you wake up. You go to school. We're in the earth, right? We're surrounded by physical things. We're surrounded by sin. This earth, this life is broken. Our bodies are broken. There's sin everywhere. Let's just be honest. And so we're walking through this and God's like, hey, listen, don't look at it. It almost seems like we should look at God and be like, are you crazy? Like, how can you tell me not to? And he says, because if you're focused on the focal point, you're not going to trip and fall. You don't have to keep looking down at your feet the whole time because you're looking at the one who's going to guide you perfectly through this. Look at your North Star. Look up at Jesus and follow him and you're not going to trip and you're not going to fall and you don't need anyone to guide you but him. It takes faith. It takes faith to ignore all the other stuff that's calling out to you and trying to distract you. But we don't walk by sight, right? The Bible says we walk by faith, and so we look to God in faith and focus our eyes on Jesus. And all of a sudden, he does a thing in your heart, and you better get ready, because he's going to transform you. He's going to turn you into that wild man or wild woman Christian that says yes to Jesus about whatever he asks for. And it might not be go to Africa, but it's the thing he's called you to do, and that's what you should do. Whatever that thing is that he's calling you to do. Maybe tonight it's as simple as just finding that one friend and seeking forgiveness because you know there's a thing between you. And to honor God tonight, he's calling you right now in your heart. Go make it right with that friend. Maybe tonight he's just calling you to simply start off by praying. Just like, would you just talk to me? Like you haven't talked to me in like 6 years. Would you just pray and just start communication with me again? Maybe that's all he's calling you to do tonight. But whatever the thing is, would you say yes? Would you just say yes to him? Would you take your eyes up and look up and be like, you're who I want to focus on? Let me see you as my focal point, Jesus. I want you at the center of it all. Don't look at the things that are on this earth. Matthew 6, 19 to 20 says this. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And we're told in Matthew right there very clearly, like, hey, if you're living your life for physical things, they're gonna break. They're that sandcastle that the waves will inevitably come and just erode away. Why would you live for something so temporary? When he's like, you can live for something that lasts forever. You can live for an eternal investment, something so much bigger than anything in your life that has so much more meaning. Isn't that what you would rather have? If tonight you're like, the answer is no, Paul would say, refocus. You're not seeing it clearly because he's better than everything. pick your eyes up. Look at the focal point and see him. Then you'll start to see why it's worth it. Verse 3, Paul says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Christian, if you're here tonight, you're a Christian. You're like, "I believe in Jesus. I'm not ashamed of it." Do you know that you died? You're like, "No, I'm not. I'm walking around now. Like, I'm breathing. I'm here. Like, I think," right? You're dead in a good way. That old life died. That old soul that you had, that old brokenness, it's gone. Living to the flesh, that old identity of who you were, it's all dead and gone. There's something beautiful about that because it allows you to see this next part of the verse. Your life, he says, that means there's life. But you got to die first so you can live. And there's so many of us trying to just jump to the living. I don't want to die to these things. I want to keep living in the world. I want to keep looking at this stuff on earth. I want to keep this stuff that seems pleasurable and it's like it's so much fun and I love just doing this stuff. But I also want to be alive. I want to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. Like, all that sounds really good. I'm scared of hell. I don't want to go there. So we try to do this without ever dying to this. Paul's like, it doesn't work that way. You have to die so you can rise again, just like Jesus, into new life. But if that's still living, there's no coming back to life. There's no resurrection if you don't die first. You can't skip that step. It's that point where you stand before Jesus and you say, "Listen, I'm done with that. I'm willing to give it up and let it go. It's dead now. Kill it. So I can be born again with you. So I can have this new life. So I can have forgiveness of sins and a relationship with my Creator. That's what I want. God, let me die to this." And Paul says, this new life is hidden. He uses this word hidden. It comes from the word crypto. That sounds like cryptocurrency or crypto, like you probably have heard that in spy movies when they encrypt things on a computer. It's this hidden thing, right? But it's not just this thing that can't be known. You don't just like disappear and never heard from again. But you're hidden now in Christ, which means you're embedded, like you're immersed into Christ. It's this beautiful picture of baptism, right? Like baptism shows us what that means. When you go in the water, you're immersed. You're completely submersed in the water. You don't completely disappear and like, "Well, where'd you go?" Like, that's not what happens. But you are hidden. You're submersed completely in this water, surrounded by life, by Jesus himself. It's this. Before, I was standing in the middle of the world in sin. But when I met Jesus, I decided to step out of that and step completely in to Jesus. Hidden in him. Submersed in him, immersed, completely surrounded by the life of Jesus. When I say I'm done with that and now I'm completely in you, Jesus, whatever you want to change, you have permission. Change it. Whatever you need to take away from me, even if you have to pry it out of my hands, because I don't want to let it go in my flesh, please pry it out of my hands. Please take it away from me because you know better. Jesus, I am yours now. Do what you would with me. You are hidden totally, completely. He says, with Christ in God. You're able to be in your Creator, surrounded by him because of what Christ did. His sacrifice. That's why he's the focal point. So when we focus our minds on that, if you're a Christian tonight trying to live for Jesus, figure out what all this life is about now, focus on him. He's everything. He's the one that allows you to be dead to the world and completely hidden in God, protected by your Creator, immersed in his life and his power and his love. Jesus does that. He's the center. He's the focus. Sometimes we don't live that way, though. The truth is we tend to hang out over here. Even when we're new, we do this and stray back into this. I mean, I know I've done it. Do it. There's this pull back into daily, this fight. falling back into these sins and this old stuff. And every day I have to be reminded of these verses. I love these verses. I probably quote them to myself multiple times a day because I need them so much in my life where I'm like, focus your eyes on things above. Some of the seniors from last year are here visiting tonight, and we love them and we're glad they're here. And they could probably attest to this of how much I talk about these stinking verses. I love these verses because I need these verses. Every day when I wake up, I need to go, God, help me focus on you today. Help me set my eyes on things above and not on things of the earth. Because I want to hang out over here so much in the flesh. What if you took, like, you guys remember who Michael Jordan is? Of course you do, right? You're not too young for that. Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. What if I took Michael Jordan up here tonight and I was like, hey, listen, he's going to show you how to kick a soccer ball. How many of you would be like, oh, like, that's a letdown. Like, seriously, you're bringing Michael Jordan all the way here to teach us how to kick a soccer ball? What does he know about soccer? Get us on that basketball court, put a ball in his hand and let him take a shot. Like, we want to learn how to shoot a basketball from Michael Jordan. We want to learn how to dunk and stick our tongue out like Michael Jordan. That's what we want to do, not kick a soccer ball. You'd be like let down by that because it's out of identity for him, right? It's not what he does. It's not what who he is. It's not in his strength. But like we're totally cool so often living that way. God's literally made you a child of God. And yet we're like, let's come over here and live this identity, someone I'm not anymore. Let's jump back in the world. You know, give me that soccer ball of the world. I have no idea what to do with it. I'm a basketball player now, but let's just try to keep living this way. And it's frankly a letdown. Because God has destined you for so much more. Would you say yes tonight to serve him? To live it out? To be who he's called you to be and made you to be instead of walking back to the things of the earth? And finally, in verse 4, look what he says. He says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. If that's not the best news you've ever heard in your entire life, you're crazy. Like, you get eternal life if you're found in Jesus. When he comes back, that day when the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns to earth, and that could be soon, y'all. We don't know. We're in the end times. It could be soon, and it might not be soon. But there will be a day. Don't get it wrong. There will be a day where you will stand there, and Jesus will say, he's mine. She's mine. My blood has covered them. I have forgiven them. They are children of God. And eternal life is granted to you. That's the best news ever. Because the other option is headed straight to hell for an eternity of punishment. And Jesus steps in and goes, no, I already paid that. I did that for them. They're on their way. Spend eternity with me. Let's go. That's what happens when you've been risen from the dead with Jesus. When you've been given brand new life. So y'all, this is what I'm asking you to do tonight. Would you live like it? Would you believe it? If you're that person tonight who's like, man, I'm just sitting here every week and I'm just kind of listening and I'm doing my thing, but I have never taken a step out of faith to say, Jesus, I'm going to say yes to whatever it is you're calling me to do. I'm scared to say yes, but I'm going to do it. I would pray that tonight the Holy Spirit does something in your heart to convince you he's worth it. And that even tonight you would say, whether it's I need to accept him as my savior tonight and have my sins forgiven, if that's what he needs to do in your heart, I'm asking God right now, God, please do it in them. If you need to be like, hey, I need to be baptized. I've been saved and still not been baptized. And I know Jesus says, when you're saved, be baptized. That's the first thing I'm asking you to do to obey me. I haven't done it. And maybe tonight you'd say, listen, God, I'm scared to do it, but I'll do it tonight. I'll say yes to you. Or maybe it's step out, share the gospel with a friend or family member that needs to hear. Whatever the thing is, I'm praying tonight that your eyes would be so fixed on things above, focused on the focal point that's Jesus Christ above everyone and everything else, that you're willing to say, whatever it takes, God, I'm saying yes to you tonight. I'm praying he would do that in your heart. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a second? Listen, as the band comes up to lead us in another song, would you just pray that? Would you pray that prayer I've been praying over you this week as I've been preparing for this message? I've been asking God to do that in you. So would you ask him that question and say, Lord, what is it you're calling me to do tonight?